Well, good morning. It's good to see you and good to be in the house of the Lord. And today we are starting a new series, The Counselor. And we're going to look at four of the most important questions that Jesus asked. And I know a lot of you have had questions even this weekend, like how come State is just playing so well at this time of the year, and the state is just doing so good. And not Iowa State, Michigan State, of course, right? The championship game today, you're all going to be tuned in, excited. But it's so good to see you. And if you're visiting with us here today, I just want to welcome you and hope that you feel welcomed and connected here today and a part of what we're doing here today and just preaching the word. So today we're starting a new series, The Counselor. I don't know how many of you have ever been to a counselor before. I won't ask you to raise your hand. You might not want to raise your hand. But I certainly have been to a counselor, and I feel it's wise to consult with someone who is wiser than you are, someone who can maybe unearth some things in your heart and in your life and help you get a better perspective on things. In fact, I always start with the assumption that I know nothing, right? I always start with the assumption that I can learn something from someone and that I don't know anything. And in fact, Solomon says in Proverbs 19:20, he says this: get all the advice and instruction you can so you will be wise the rest of your life. Get all the advice and instruction you can so you will be wise the rest of your life. That's essentially even what I did this last week. Went to a missions conference at the school where I attended in Dallas Theological Seminary, and just spent time there asking people for advice, asking them for instruction about how they structure their missions program in their church, what they're doing, what's working, what's not working. And I think that's a good thing to do, to get advice and to get instruction from people who have been down that road before you. If you've ever been to a counselor before, you know that a counselor will ask a lot of questions. Why do they do this? Well, sometimes the best way to find truth is on the other side of a good question. Sometimes the best way to find the truth is on the other side of a good question that is asked. So as I said, in this series, we're going to look at four of the most important questions that Jesus asked. Essentially, we're going to let Jesus be our counselor. We're going to let him be our counselor. And today we're going to be in Mark chapter 4. And let me kind of set the context or the backdrop for the story here today. Jesus is teaching by the lake shore. And as he's teaching, a very large crowd soon gathers around. Jesus notices a boat there in the water. And so because the people are pressing in on him, are overcrowding around him, he gets into that boat while the people remain on the shore. He sits in the boat and he begins to teach them stories. The Bible says stories in the form of parables. And when he finishes teaching the people the stories, he says to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. Hey guys, let's go over to the other side of the lake. And so that's where we pick up in this story here as it kind of sets the scene for where we're at. Let's look here in Mark 4, verses 36 and 37. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. I don't know if you've ever been in a boat before and you thought you were going to drown. Maybe you were on the river here in town and you hit some rapids and you got turned sideways and you flipped over. For me, one time in Michigan, we were in our boat and we saw the Bobolo boat. And you're like, what is the Bobolo boat? It was this three-decker party-like boat that took people to an island there off of Michigan, and it had roller coasters on this island. And we were kind of new in the boating world, and my dad was like, oh, look, there's the Bobolo boat. And so we're driving up next to it. And before we know it, there's these huge swells that were coming off the back of this party-like three-decker thing, and we were too close. We were way too close to this thing. And we dipped down into one of these swells, and I was about 10 years old, and this huge wave came over the front of our boat, and I had peeked my head out of the cabin there, out of the cuddy hole up top, and I'll never forget that. And the water came crashing down over me and my sister and washed us clear out of the cabin to the back of the boat. Perhaps you've been on a plane before and you've experienced massive turbulence. You know that feeling where the plane's going up and down and you're like, are we going to drop? Are we going to fall out of the sky? And you may not even be a believer, but suddenly you're praying, God, help me, right? God, help us. This is the situation that the disciples are in, right? You get the picture, right? They feel swamped. They're entering into a storm. That's the feeling right here. Let's continue on in the story here in verses 38 through 41. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid?" There's the question. Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." So, what's Jesus saying here to his disciples? He's saying, "Guys, I'm in the boat. I'm in the boat. You've seen me do great things before. Why are you so afraid? Why are you guys so afraid? I'm here with you. I'm in the boat." You know, the Sea of Galilee is 680 feet below sea level, and it's surrounded by mountains. And so according to experts, it is the perfect place for a storm to blow out of nowhere. Some of you right now, Your life may be good, everything may be going along great, and then all of a sudden, a storm may come in, blowing out of nowhere, right? It could be that you're having the best sales month of your career, and then you find out that your company is downsizing. They're laying people off. And since you're low man on the totem pole, your number is up. It could be that your marriage, it's better than it's ever been. But then your spouse goes to the doctor and they receive some horrible news. And it's like the rug has been pulled out from under you. And you're thinking, how are we going to make it through this? It could be that you feel your child, your son, your daughter, your teenager, you feel like they're finally doing good, they're on the right track. And then you find out the truth. They've been making some bad decisions. They've been making some bad decisions, and suddenly your life, all of a sudden, is a blur. You know, sometimes church people are the best at hiding the storms that they're in. Sometimes church people are the best at hiding the storms that they're in. Some of you, you look totally fine on the outside, but behind that smile of yours, you're in the middle of a storm. You're in the middle of a storm. And maybe nobody even knows about it. I've seen people who are jealous of other people. "I wish I had your life. I wish I lived in your house." And they're actually like two payments behind on their house. And they might lose their house and nobody even knows about it. or I wish I had their marriage. Man, they look so happy together. They interact so well. And you're like, man, you have no idea. We're good at faking it on the outside, but on the inside, we're barely hanging on by a thread. Some of you may have a hard time falling asleep at night because you're afraid. You cry yourself to sleep at night. Right? You feel more alone than ever before. Maybe for some of you, your life is going really good right now, and you're thinking, I don't know how I can keep up this pace. Right? It's overwhelming. And so on the outside, you're smiling, but on the inside, you're falling apart, and nobody knows about it. And so really my question today is this. How many of you are in a storm or know someone who's in a storm, perhaps a loved one? How many of you would be bold enough to say you or someone you love is in a storm? Would you raise your hand and say, hey, me or someone I love? Yeah, a lot of hands all over. A lot of hands, right? We're either not in a storm, about to enter a storm, or we're coming out of a storm. It's usually one of those three things. And so this morning, I want to give you two things to remember and to embrace and hold on to when you're in the storm. Two things to remember and embrace and hold on to when you're in the storm. First, you're in the storm with His presence. You're in the storm with His presence. Verses 37 and 38 there in Mark chapter 4, verse 37. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with His head on a cushion. That sounds so funny, doesn't it? Everything's going crazy, and there's Jesus totally at peace, sleeping in the middle of the storm. The disciples woke Him up shouting, "Teacher! Don't you care that we're going to drown?" Where was Jesus? Where was He? He's in the boat. He's in the boat. You know, a lot of us think, if I'm with Jesus, there shouldn't be a storm, right? I'm with Jesus, so there shouldn't be a storm, right? I gave my life to Christ. Therefore, it should be smooth sailing, right? I said the prayer at the end of the service, right? God, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, right? I said that prayer. I shouldn't be in a storm. That's just not true, right? Jesus Himself said, in this world you will have what? Trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world, right? In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. What happens when you move from darkness to light? What happens when you move from darkness to light? Suddenly, you move into the middle of a spiritual battle. Christianity isn't a playground, but it's a battleground. It's forces of darkness against forces of light. And so you're going to constantly be facing opposition and temptation. Why? Because the thief, Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So just because Jesus is in the boat doesn't mean the storm will never rock you. Right? Just because Jesus is in the boat doesn't mean the storm will never rock you. What then does it mean? It means the storm will never sink you. Jesus is for you. He is with you. And there's nothing that can take you out of His presence. Nothing. Here's an interesting, what I would call tidbit. If you're older, right? And I don't know how to define what older is, but it depends on our perspective. But it's been shown or proven that older people live longer if they have something living in the house with them, i.e. a dog, a cat, a plant, a fish, a gerbil, a hamster. I'm not really sure the difference between a gerbil and a hamster, but anyways, I guess one's got a tail, but we won't go into that. Right, older people, it's been proven, right, live longer if they have something living in the house with them. Every now and again, you're going to be in a storm, and it's going to get really bad. And people are going to come up to you, and they're going to ask, how are you getting by and enduring this? How come your world is falling apart around you and you're not falling apart? How come everything's going wrong in your life right now and you still have this quiet confidence? Why is it you have peace when you're in the middle of a storm? And you know what you're going to tell them? You're going to tell them, because there's someone living in my house. And it's not just life, but it's the author of life. His presence is with me. His presence is with me, right? He's in the boat and he's in the house. I can feel his presence. I can sense his strength and his power. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Never let the presence of that storm, the thing that's happening in your life right now, the thing that's going on, cause you to doubt the presence of God. He is with you. He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. In fact, David says this in Psalm 23:4. You all know it, right? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So the first thing to remember and embrace in the storm that you may be in right now is to what? Always remember his presence, right? He is with you. The second thing, you're in the storm with his, or for his purposes. You're in the storm for his purposes. Remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, let's go to the other side of the lake. Whose idea was it? Jesus's idea, right? It was his idea to go to the other side of the lake. Why was he taking them to the other side of the lake? Because Jesus knew there was a guy there who was hurting himself. Right? He knows all things. Right? Guys, there's a guy over there who's hurting himself. He was possessed by an evil spirit, and so Jesus is going to speak healing into this guy's life. Jesus, being God in the flesh, knows that a storm is going to blow out of nowhere and get in the middle of their travel. So we can say this, Jesus is taking his disciples in and through a storm. So from that line of logic, we can conclude this. The disciples were, they were not in the storm because they were out of the will of God. They were in the storm because they were in the will of God. Did you get that? The disciples were not in the storm because they were out of the will of God. They were actually in the storm because they were in the will of God. And so now you might be saying, well, Ed, are you saying that God caused this mess or this storm that I'm in? Well, I can't say that with certainty, whether God caused it or allowed it. What I can say is that God always uses the storm to do a work inside of us. He always uses a storm to do a work inside of us. In fact, you know these verses in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James says what? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. All right? Consider it pure joy. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Some of you are in the middle of a test right now. How many of you like tests? Man, I hate tests, right? Whenever the teacher said there's a test, there's a pop quiz, I'm like, no. Right? My stomach would sink, anxiety would set in. Right? And that's how it feels when you're in a storm. Your stomach sinks, anxiety sets in. Some of you are in the middle of a test right now. What does a good teacher do? A good teacher tests you, right? Why? To pass you and to promote you. To pass you and to promote you. At the end of the year, they have what? The final exam. And if you pass, they move you up a level, right? Or if you don't pass, they still move you up because they don't want you in their class again. All right, we're moving you on. We're going to fudge some numbers here. Why may God allow you to experience a storm? Why may God allow you to experience a storm? To test your love and to promote your level of belief. To test your love and to promote your level of belief. To stretch your faith so that you may grow and mature. What season of life are we in as a church body? What season or stage are we in as a body? I would say we are in a season of maturing, right? A lot of you are young in the faith. How does God mature us? How does He mature us? He matures us as we read His Word. And He renews our minds, right? He changes the way that we think and that we act, right? That's why the author of Hebrews says, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. When we read His Word, He judges our thoughts. He judges our attitudes. Right? He opens us up and he teaches us and He renews our minds. That's how He matures us. How else does He mature us? He matures us as we discover our spiritual gifts. Right? As you go through our Next Steps class here at church and our membership class and you discover your spiritual gifts and then you use those gifts to minister to others. Hey, I discovered this is my gift, and I'm going to use this gift to be a blessing to others. I'm not just going to hoard it or just let it lie dormant. Right? I've discovered my gift is service, so I'm going to serve. Or my gift is leadership, so I'm going to lead in that way and help in that way. God matures us as we go through certain storms. As we go through certain storms in life, God matures us. In fact, I would say it like this. The difference between where you are today and where God wants you to be is what? What is it? It's the storm you have yet to endure. The difference between where you are and where God wants you to be is the storm you've yet to endure. If you've ever met someone whose faith is just rock solid, right? They're just a believer through and through. I can promise you that they've been through some storms, right? They've been through some storms. So when the boat starts rocking and shaking, nothing rattles them because they know his faithfulness through the years and they've experienced his presence. God's often doing something in us and through us in the storm that he couldn't do any other way. And I got to tell you what, I don't like the storms. I hate the storms. I don't want to be in the storm. I don't want my family to be in the storm or a loved one to be in the storm. All right? But God is often doing something in us and through us in that storm that he couldn't do any other way. So what do these disciples do in the middle of the storm? Well, they do what you and me usually do, panic, right? Like Sanford and St. Elizabeth, it's a big one. I'm coming to join you, right? They panic. Grab hold of Jesus. Jesus, wake up, right? We're going to drown, right? And what's Jesus do? Let's look at what he says here in Mark 4, 39 through 41. Jesus was in the storm, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, teacher," that's a key word, teacher, "don't you care if we drown?" Don't you care? Right? Sometimes you're in the middle of a storm and you feel like God's not there and you're like, "God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Don't you care?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." The wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? I don't get it. Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Who is this guy? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now, what is it I want you to notice here? Notice what they called him. Teacher. Teacher. What did they call him later on? Lord. Right? Here they call him teacher. Later on in ministry, they call him Lord. What happened? What exactly happened? The fear of the storm started to grow into a fear of the Lord, right? The fear of the storm started to grow into a healthy fear of the Lord. Wow, who is this guy? He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's not just teacher, he is Lord. If you're a follower of Jesus, it's okay to be afraid because you're in a storm. That's okay. However, you need to remember, your hope is no longer in the boat. Your hope is where? In the Lord. Your hope is in the Lord. Your soul is anchored to him. And that changes everything. Right? God did not give us a spirit of timidity, a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. It's not by might nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Right? You can't force it or change it or make it to happen. Right? When you're in a storm, it's out of your control. It's beyond your control. Right? It's not by force. It's right. You can't just get that round peg and get it into a square hole. You have to say, it's not by might nor by force, but by his spirit. Right? He is with you. And if he is with you, and if he is for you, and he's working out all things together for the good, for those who love him, you got to believe that because it's true. So when you're in a storm, always remember that he is with you, right? And he's got a purpose in the middle of that storm, the season of life that you're in right now. And you may say, Ed, I just feel right now like things are out of control in my life. I'm one of those people who has a good smile on the outside, and I might look totally fine, but on the inside, if I were to be really honest, my world's falling apart. I feel empty. I feel more alone than ever before. And I don't sense his presence. In fact, you might even be here this morning, you say, Ed, I've never turned my life over to Jesus. I've always tried to make things happen in my own power and in my own strength, believing that if I just pulled myself up by my bootstraps, if I just tried a little bit harder, worked a little bit better, that I could do it, I could overcome it. But I can't keep going at this pace that I'm going at. And if I were to be really honest, I'm that person at night who feels more alone than ever before. And on the inside, I am crying. And I need Jesus. If that's you here this morning, we're going to give you an opportunity to pray and to ask Jesus to come into your heart, that he may be living in your house, living inside of you, right? The author of life. The Bible says, having believed, having put your faith in Jesus, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Right? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I've started to put my trust in the boat. I've started to put my hope in the boat instead of putting my hope in the Lord. And I've lost my foundation. I've forgotten who the rock is. I've focused on the things here in this world rather than God, right? Would you pray for me, Ed? That he would take me and shift my heart and shift my mind and my focus to him. That I wouldn't focus on what's going on around me, but that I would run to him for peace, the Prince of Peace. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, Lord, we're either about to enter a storm, in a storm, or coming out of a storm. Whatever situation people are in this morning, Lord, I pray right now that you would help them to know that you're with them and that you have a purpose in this storm. Help them to remember, though the boat may rock, the storm will never sink them. And so I pray that they'd latch onto you, that they grab onto you. Maybe you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you say, Ed, I need Jesus. Because behind my smile, I'm in something that nobody even knows about. And I want Jesus. I want a fresh start. I need a fresh start. I want forgiveness. That's what Jesus offers. And so if that's you, then I would just like to lead you in a prayer as you repeat these words in your heart after me, softly and quietly. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just pray that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I just continue to get sucked back up in this situation, in this event, and my heart is not at peace, and I'm restless, and there's anxiety, and I feel like I'm in constant turmoil, and the storm is chewing me up and spitting me out. And would you pray for me, Ed? Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray first and foremost that you'd wrap your loving arms around them, that you comfort them, that they would feel and sense your presence, that they would remember that you are with them in the boat and in the house, and you have not forgotten about them, that you would carry them through this. And though they may look back and see only one set of footprints and realize you were the one carrying them through this time, this season in their life, mature them, Lord, stretch them, shape them, mold them into your image and likeness. And may your will be done, and may they come out stronger and more in love with you than ever before. Teach them to rely on you, to depend upon you, and may you prove to be more than faithful. And we pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.